progressive voice in the afternoon. This is the Mario Solis Marriage Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Hart filling in for Mario most of the week, save Thursday with you. And then next week, I get to fill in for the talented Jay Marvin. All that and more coming up. 9 days to shake the Colorado Rockies. I'm so excited to be with you. Welcome and thank you for joining me. It's 303-713-7600. We have so much to talk about that it is, I can barely contain myself. And I'm so excited to be filling in for you, but I don't envy you your heat, actually. I love the Denver Post headlines, and their current one on their website is, Denver could torch heat record. So as you drive around in that 92, 93, 94 degree heat, just know we're breaking a record. Woohoo! As a Colorado native, I'm proud. Yay! Three more days, if this holds out, we'll smash a 19th century record. In 1874 and again in 1901, Denver braved 18 consecutive days in which the temperatures reached or surpassed 90 degrees. Yow! So this week, by the way, is flush with 90-degree forecast, but we'll stay cool in here. Give me a call. The lows will be in 65, which is pretty nifty. Tuesday, it is hot. It's supposed to get to be 94 today. Now, the chance of rain drops to 10%. Wow. That is dry. That makes my lips hurt just to think about it. All right. We have to talk about everything. We have to talk about McCain surging in the polls. We have to talk about liberals being shot and killed for being liberals in Knoxville, Tennessee, yesterday at a church service, no less. Now, I know that churches were shot up in Denver about a year ago, roughly, 8-9 months ago in December of 2007. This is a similar deal in that the guy was disgruntled, unhappy, massively needed mental care, mental health care. You know, how do you spot these crazy guys? How do you know? And when do you know? I mean, I've heard a lot of angry rants from right wingers in my life. And let's just say, I'm never sure what Ann Coulter is going to do ever. And this guy, apparently, we've heard was a listener of Ann Coulter and a follower of her work. I don't know that that's true, but he wrote a 4-page letter and he apparently outlined his frustration and hatred of the, quote, liberal movement, close quote. Now, I've been a liberal talk show host for years, and many of them in Colorado, as a matter of fact, as some of you may know. And by the way, if you'd like to write me a note at erin@erinhartshow.com, I have both my emails open, erin@erinhartshow.com. That's E-R-I-N-H-A-R-T. You know how to spell show, I'm sure. erin@erinhartshow.com. I would love to hear from you because I want to hear your thoughts on this, and I want to have a thoughtful discussion, because if we were right-wing radio, if I were Michael Savage, I'd say something like, those conservatives, they're the plague, they're the black death, because he has claimed, of course, that liberals are the HIV virus of the political spectrum. If I were a crazy person like one of the right-wing reactionary preachers who we all know and can't stand, and that includes you, Dr. Dobson, We would blame us for, 9/11, the death of civility, life in general, and it's just this, all of my working life as a radio talk show host, we have been bombarded with this hatred. I just heard Rush Limbaugh. I love to turn Rush Limbaugh off after about 3.5 minutes. No offense, Blowtorch, but I can't stand him. And one of the reasons I cannot stand him is one of his recent rants was going off on Barack Obama, making it sound like he was a brainwashed left-wing Muslim who was indoctrinated to take our country down and to be a weakling and to be a quisling and to give up the United States of America's sovereignty. Well, you know what? This takes its toll. And yes, I rail against George W. Bush, but you know what? I do it with facts. I let the facts of politics and wartime dictate what I say. I let the facts of what these guys do every single day carry my rhetoric forward. I let the facts of this Bush administration's criminal behavior dictate what I say, and I back it up. I do not, I make jokes, but they're clearly jokes that, for example, Dick Cheney is the devil and he has cloven feet. I'm pretty sure if you took off his shoes and socks, I would probably be proved correct. But you know what? People know I'm joking. Because why? Liberals have a sense of humor. Right-wing reactionary crazies, maybe not so much. And one of the problems with, now, here how I am a compassionate liberal. I feel sorry for the guy. I wish he had gotten mental health care help. I wish he weren't carrying around. He apparently was a talented musician, and he carried a loaded semi-automatic, according to the press, semi-automatic shotgun from his 2004 Ford Escape into the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church, motivated by his seething hatred for the liberal movement. And he was planning to shoot until the police shot him. In other words, it was an attempt for a suicide by cop. How do we know this? Because he left a note in that Ford Escape saying that's what he had planned to do for about a week. Now, he's been in trouble for a long time. His ex-wife, his fourth wife, by the way, filed a restraining order against him in the year 2000, saying that she feared for her life. One of the problems is the two things we don't do enough interdiction on in this country is people who are filled with hate and mental illness, and people and racism and hatred and all of those other horrible isms. And we don't do enough to tackle alcoholism and drug abuse in this country. And we do so at our peril. Our lack of funding and awareness of this is literally killing us. It kills us on highways when drunks drive off the road and hit people. And it works when people are raised to believe that this church stood for, by its own website, desegregation, racial harmony, fair wages, women's rights, and gay rights. Doesn't sound really threatening, does it? Maybe different from your point of view, but is that any reason to take a loaded gun, by the way, into a children's concert? A children's concert of Annie Jr. Okay, these kids were performing. Now, the guy passed by the children to give him a limited small soupçon of credit and directly aimed his gun and began firing at the adults. It's just scary. This man, you know, Jim D. Atkinson now enters the books, 58 years old, as somebody who shoots liberals, doesn't he? Because they are liberals. Now, this in its current incarnation had its beginning in Jumpin' Joe McCarthy, and John McCain is sounding perilously like a Jumpin' Joe McCarthy wannabe, which is why I'm bringing this up, because of the things he has been saying about Barack Obama's patriotism. It's have you no shame, sir. Now, I have been loath as a talk show host to succumb to the temptation to call him Grampy McSame, as the very talented Stephanie Miller does. Because, you know, yes, he's old. Yes, he has skin cancer. Yes, I'm afraid his face is going to fall off. You know, yes, I do have those thoughts. Yes, I do make fun of him. Yes, I will make fun of him. But what he really strikes me at is John McShame. Because he is now violating every little rule that he made on the campaign bus. And in case you're wondering, the press has been giving him more favorable coverage than they have been giving Barack Obama. So this is where it starts. This is where it begins. It's with the reporter who doesn't ask the follow-up when somebody makes an outrageously racist or stupid or ignorant or lying statement. You know, as newspaper reporters, it seems to me they're like, well, let's just stand back and watch him fight. Let's let one side say one thing and one side say the other. No, that is not the proper way to carry on discourse in this country. It's a false dichotomy. If you're not showing partisanship when you closely question people who are putting out propaganda and inaccuracies and distorting people's records, you are not doing that. When you merely mouth the lies and distortions that the John McCain campaign is doing to respond to Barack Obama, you're not doing your job. Just like I would not be doing my job if there were a liberal yahoo who were making the same kinds of accusations and idiot statements, which, as you know, in the case of Ward Churchill, for an example, I will do, because I am an honest broker of information. I am partisan. I am a proud liberal. I am a progressive, and I'm proud of it. But I also stand for the truth, and I also stand as close as we can humanly get to a version of it. This man was probably inundated every day. I don't know what kind of right-wing talk radio they have in Knoxville, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's round up the usual suspects, who 24, they outnumber us 90-1, conservative to progressive host. They have filled this country with illogical and evil kinds of hatred. Let's just call it for what it is, because it is evil. It's wrong and it's evil. And it's really not funny that a guy would think it was a good idea to walk in with a loaded shotgun and blow away. Now 2 people dead, 7 injured. This is a crime. This is a hate crime. I knew that it was a weird day in America when I just Googled Fox News, and even they're saying hate crime being investigated. Now, if it is so bad of an attack against liberals that Fox News Network, which perpetrates hatred against liberals every single day, is calling it a hate crime, then what do you call it? 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Mario Solis Marit Show. I want to hear from you. I want you to sing it loud and sing it proud. Tell me why this country has gone overboard in hatred of liberals and why it is about time for us to take our country back and share it with right-wing conservatives, as long as they promise, oh, say, not to shoot us, to play well with others, and to give us a chance to talk. 303-713-7600. I stand for my country. I stand for you. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in all week for Mario Solis. Join me, 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of his show. Stand by for AM 760 Progressive Traffic with Scott Boylan. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mario Solis Marich has taken the week off. I'm filling in for him most of the week. Enjoy having you aboard. It's countdown to the convention. Join me all week this week, and next week I'll be filling in for Jay Marvin in the morning, so you get me both ends of the day. Morning and afternoon drive, my two favorite times to work. Now, it is really key that we talk about this. I'll tell you why. You know, as I was looking through the news today, I thought, oh, Hart, what evidence do you have that these guys go crazy and then shoot liberals, don't they? Well, this guy did. He did. Apparently, he wasn't able to get a job. He said that he hated liberals because they got all the jobs. Gee, I'd like to know where those are, especially for females in talk radio. But, you know, and thank God there are some of us working full time. But it is really sad that this guy went after the Unitarian Universalists, who have roots in a movement that rejected orthodoxy in New England. Puritan Orthodoxy. They came and they were very much committed to social justice, and they have embraced liberal stances on the rights of women and the rights of gays. And there was a sign out front. So a guy should walk in and shoot them up? This is terrifying that somebody would actually think it was okay to go in and shoot people because of their political beliefs. But we know that's not unusual. We know that that happens, except when it hits home to us. I mean, there have been attacks because of differing beliefs. 15 people were killed in Istanbul. It's not unusual in other parts of the world. But when it happens here, I think we all go, wait, what? We're supposed to be pluralistic. This is the genius that Obama talked about in Germany, right? That we're a multicultural nation. Everybody gets to live here. And theoretically, we are supposed to get along. We are supposed to be better than that. We're supposed to be more inclusive. Now, I don't like conservative points of view much. I regularly make fun of it. I do not like it. I think it's basically, hi, let's give me your tired, your poor, cut them off and throw them out of this country. We don't want them. You know, that's pretty much what they sound like to me. But would I defend to the death their right to speak up? Sure. Would I say that they have the right to try to be funny? Yes. Do they have any comedy shows? Not really, unless you count Stephen Colbert. Why is that, you might ask? Well, because they're not very funny. And actually, I think part of the reason they're not very funny is because they're so angry they don't really have a sense of humor, which is a very dangerous thing. Steve, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hello.
Hey, thank you for letting us get you at both ends.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
I didn't really realize. Sometimes I'm unintentionally risque. Sorry about that.
I'm not being.
Me either. Okay, good. Academically, go.
Yes. You're very good at what you do. You know, maybe this guy, he'll luck out. Bush will give him a pardon.
You know, he might, along with, and he and Libby can play cards, and Cheney can take him out hunting, hopefully. It's really scary, you know. But when you have disregard from the law coming from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because today, I don't know if you saw it, the Justice Report came out that found the aides illegally discriminated against career hires who weren't Republican. They systematically politicized the Department of Justice.
Yep.
Worse, Albertico Gonzalez wasn't apparently even aware of it, which I just find him appalling. Alberto Gonzalez makes me so angry. What an idiot.
Well, he's the epitome of what went wrong.
I don't remember. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? I don't get it. Did I? Oh, was I there? Was I in that meeting? It's like, I don't know. Does your head fit on your neck?
You know, my only grasp on sanity is the idea that the liberals are going to take control.
98.
And clean up house. I do believe that even if Obama gets, you know, if Obama gets in, which I believe he will, that he has an agenda, that he's gonna be a great president and clean it up.
He has a great capacity because, and I hope he asks us to sacrifice. I hope he asks us to chip in. You know, I was thinking about trying to go for delegate, but there were so many people who are much more worthy than I was, and trying to raise money. Thank you, Steve, that I didn't. But, you know, I'm with you in spirit for the convention. I really want him to win. If I were there, and I may be there yet, you never know, at Invesco Stadium, I'm going to cheer like a little kid again because I really do believe in this man. Yes, I'm a jaded political analyst. Yes, I've seen a lot of people come under the bridge or over the bridge and disappoint me, like, you know. But, hey, we've got to stand together for our country. And this kind of stuff is so appalling. It's really scary. You know, I know you told me somebody is on hold, and I apologize. Dan, thank you very much. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Mario. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
Hey, the only thing I took exception to is a little bit ago you said that Stephen Colbert is a right winger.
No, he plays one on TV. I'm saying the only one that they have who's sort of kind of funny is Stephen Colbert acting as if he's a right winger. Because that whole show is a spoof of Bill O'Reilly and others. But no, he's not really. As far as I can tell, he's not.
No, because if you think about it, he's always the putz.
Oh, of course. And he plays, when you see him do, and that's the word of the day, you always know he's making fun. Oh, no, absolutely. But he's the only one who even comes close to being a funny conservative, and they had to get an ersatz one, a fake one. You know?
Yeah, Dennis Miller likes to think he is, but he's not really very funny.
No, I actually, yeah, Bush, you'd like to think he's hilarious. And Alberto, I guess, was kind of funny when he was going live. Hi, yeah, no, I don't really know. Was I in that meeting? I don't know. Was I there? My log says I was there, but I do not recall. That was it. I think he said, I do not recall. What was it, 55 times in one session?
Yeah.
And by the way, did you see the hearings for the impeachment? I know they were supposed to be called something else, but did you watch any of that on Friday in C-SPAN?
No, I could not.
You know, it made me so sad. I had mixed feelings about it, Dan. I watched it, and I kept getting really sad for our country watching true patriots like Bruce Feynman, like Elizabeth Holzman, like a number of people talking about what our country could be if we actually investigated this criminal behavior on the part of the Bush administration. But it probably won't get done because it's probably too late. Ugh! Ginny, welcome to the Mario Solis Show. Hi, it's Aaron Hart filling in.
Good to hear you on for subbing. I really enjoy your shows.
Thank you.
I am a member of the UUA all my life, and that was just a devastating thing yesterday, and yet at the time I was wondering. But I think it brings up a very interesting situation for those of us who tend to be these fairly blatant liberals who believe in some gun control.
Yeah.
Because after all this stuff, in fact, somebody on one of the blogs was saying, well, now this just means we need to be able to take guns into church. And I'm going, oh, no. Pay attention to what happened. He got there about quarter after, about 15 after.
Yeah.
The first call went to the cops at 18 after. They were there at 21 after. He got off two shots. Now, he had a 12-gauge, not an automatic.
Right. He had 76 shells, but you have to reload. Right.
Yeah, but the members of the congregation brought him down after the first two.
Right.
No guns, just guts and, you know, to heck with it. We got to do this. So, you know, to me, that is one of the things that I was a hunter. I ended up selling my guns, which makes me bitter, but, you know, I think that this is something that we need to pay attention to, that sometimes in a situation like that, a lot of people who may have a gun are not trained and don't have the capacity to deal with the situation.
And aren't sane. This guy had restraining orders against him. He was obviously in trouble. His food stamps had just been cut out. You don't tell me his counselors had an idea that he was a mess. I mean, I'm sure they didn't like him much. And maybe, you know, and they're probably overworked and underpaid. So, you know, it's the same old story. But, you know, as long as we don't have a society where guys like this fall through the cracks, I'm not for arming them. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, when people say we should have guns in churches, I watched this video. I think it was up here. A doctor, this man who was obviously mentally ill, kept going up to somebody and putting a gun in his face. He did it once, I think, and then he was on his way to do it twice. And a doctor got up from the table with a gun and chased him out. I looked at that crowded restaurant and I thought, oh my God. But for a trigger, you know, everybody in that restaurant was in peril of losing their lives because two amateurs had a gun.
Yeah,
I just don't feel comfortable with it either. I get you.
Well, and you, absolutely on the mental health issues. I mean, that is one thing. I'm a nurse. I've had my issues there, and I know darn good and well this country just has not gotten it together on, you know, the treatment, the outreach, the adequate care there, and it's part of what we need is an
Yeah,
no.
And people will say it's a nanny state, but you know what? This guy had signals. As far as I'm concerned, if you start getting signals, then you go to anger management classes. Period. Yeah. No question marks. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, Ginny. I'm overdue for a traffic break with Scott Boylan. I'd love to go to that. I'd also love to hear from you on the Mario Solis Show. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart filling in. We're discussing a man who shot churchgoers because they were liberals. How sad, how scary is that? And does it mean anything about gun control, does it? You know, churches, synagogues, do we really want to start packing heat in those places? You know, I know we're all from the Wild West, but give me a break. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on The Mario Show. Love to talk to you. You can also send me emails at aaron@aaronhartshow.com. Join us. Okay, ever wonder where prejudice against liberals came from? Well, Alberto Gonzalez broke laws in hiring. Nice. Gonzalez aides for the top dog, the attorney general himself, Alberto Gonzalez. Probably will go down as one of the most clueless. Whenever I see Alberto Gonzalez, I just think of, of clueless. He just seems like, oh, am I attorney general? What am I supposed to do? Oh, yes, Bush, would you please tell me what to do now? What do I do now? How did that man ever get, I don't know. I mean, I just, poor thing, just, whoa. I do not recall. By the way, Monica Goodling, do you remember her? 25 years old or something ridiculous, maybe early 30s, but she looked too. She was a young lawyer from the Republican National Committee. Her qualifications were basically she graduated from a right-wing law school that ain't very good, folks, in terms of a track record. And she basically admitted to being involved in the firing of 9 United States attorneys general. Attorneys, rather, when introduced politics to a hiring process in a systematic way that constituted illegal misconduct. This, according to Eric Lichbaugh's fine story in the New York Times today. Now, the inspector general, they've been letting this out in dribs and drabs. So in case you missed it and you're wondering why, there is overwhelming prejudice against liberals. Well, even if you are a Republican attorney general and you refuse to prosecute or go after liberals, like, say, the one in New Mexico did and the one up here in the state of Washington did, you won't just be a blind idiot to the law and say, oh, no, the law says I can't go after these people because there's not enough evidence. But you know what? I have to be a political hack. Because that's my job now. I work for George W. Bush. They might as well just eliminate titles in the Bush administration and just go, political hack. Hi, I'm the attorney political hack. Hello, I'm the vice political hack. I'm, you know, David Addington. Did you see him testifying? The contempt dripping in his voice when he was testifying before Congress about how we don't really have to obey the Constitution. The executive isn't really part of the vice president's job. What? The vice president, you people are too idiotic to understand the Constitution. This man's entire manner. They stood the Constitution upside down and then shook all of the coin of the realm out of its pockets. They basically wasted our Constitution. They shredded it, to use a modern metaphor. But they took a lively, revolutionary 18th century document and dragged it to the stone, actually to probably the Dark Ages, certainly predating the Magna Carta in 12, whenever it was, you know, the 13th century. It's ridiculous. These people, that's one where we got things like, oh, yeah, habeas corpus. They basically took things. Bring me the body. Bring me the person who's been accused of crimes. These, when I listened to those hearings on Friday, you know, and so much has happened since then. It's hard to remember how sad, because I was thinking about talking to you this week, and I thought, gosh, what about, and I listened to Elizabeth Holzman, who I watched as a young person testifying on the committee. If you have never, if you are too young to remember the Watergate hearings, you really should go back and watch them, because you would be seeing our country at a time when it was better, even under the evil, cloven-headed and footed Richard Nixon, even under the sad person that he was better in some ways than these people have been. Really, seriously, and truly. Because at least I think he really understood foreign policy to a certain degree. And he set up things like the Environmental Protection Agency, which still kind of boggles my memory. But these guys are like, Constitution? What Constitution? Executive branch? We're not part of the executive. We don't have to obey no stinking executive branch. Why would we do that? We don't need no stinking badges, to paraphrase the wonderful play that I saw last in L.A. We don't have to do that. We don't have to obey the law. We don't have to uphold the Constitution. We could just violate it. And so they create, and then they follow right-wing clacks and hacks on the radio who have the audacity to say things such as liberals are the HIV of the political world, HIV virus, and say things such as, you know, Barack Obama is really a Trojan horse for the Muslims, as Rush Limbaugh has been insinuating on his horrifyingly stigmatic, terribly prejudiced show most of his career. But he's particularly picking on Obama now. You know why? Because they figured out that stuff works. They know that propagandizing that way works. And let me tell you something. Barack Obama has been slipping in the polls in Colorado. So why is that? You're not listening to this jerk, are you? You're not listening to these people. 303-713-7600. Let's talk about it, shall we? Let's talk about how do we get past the phalanx of the right-wing reactionary press, the right-wing reactionary talk radio geeks who are going to be going after it, hammer and tong, spreading lies and innuendo. How do we pierce that? Because the McCain boys have already started. They're after Barack Obama, calling him every kind of name and questioning his patriotism. I'll be bringing you a clip from Brian Williams. And by the way, NBC even with MSNBC, has not been free of sin in this area. 303-713-7600. Stand by for Progressive Traffic with Scott Boylan coming right up.
Senator John McCain and his campaign have sharply stepped up criticism of Senator Barack Obama as a craven and naive traveler to the Middle East, who, as McCain put it at a raucous town hall style meeting, quote, would rather lose a war in order to win a political campaign. That's tough language.
Yeah, I was disappointed by that language. John McCain and I disagree on policy. We disagreed on going into the war in Iraq. We disagreed until recently about the need to get more troops into Afghanistan. But I've never questioned that he wants to make America safer. And for him to suggest that I don't, for him to suggest that somehow I'm less concerned about the safety of my wife and daughter than he is, I think was unfortunate.
Really unfortunate and sad, really, and pathetic. Very pathetic. Why is McCain doing this? Oh, because he thinks it's going to work. That's why he's doing it. He thinks it'll work in Michigan. He thinks it'll work in Minnesota. He thinks it'll work in Colorado, all of which are up for grabs. If you think this election's over and that Barack Obama has won, then think it over. We have work to do. Now, I'm more of a political commentator than a political activist, but I've been helping to register people to vote. I've been spreading the word on why I think this guy is better. I do it in my job because I believe in him. I would not do it if I didn't believe he was better for my country than John McCain. And I believe that wholeheartedly. But I also want to talk to you and hear what you think. And we're talking today about the man who shot the churchgoers over their liberal points of view, which scares me, and about Alberto Gonzalez's and, you know, Michael Mukasey apparently isn't that much better, but they were blatantly political in screening out liberals. Now, is that really the kind of country you want to live in? Is that the kind of fair and balanced life you think our country deserves? I do not. 303-713-7600. I would love to talk to you on the Mario Solis Show. Is Kathleen. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Aaron.
Good afternoon.
Hello. You just asked, you said that Barack is losing support in Colorado, and you were wondering why.
Yes.
And I'm an activist, and I've registered people to vote for 15 years, and I think people are becoming aware that George Bush, Dick Cheney, Hillary Clinton, and John McCain, and Barack Obama are all on the Council of Foreign Relations. So they're all on the same team. So saying they're different is, I think people aren't taking it anymore. And do you have anything to say?
How is Barack Obama the same as John McCain?
Because the Council of Foreign Relations.
Just because they both belong to the same council? Do you think in lockstep with every council that you're on?
Do I pay $50,000 a year to be a member? And the membership of the Council of Foreign Relations means you're working towards one world order, new world order, one world government, and the end of American sovereignty.
Yeah.
Okay?
Paranoia.
So I'm a Kucinich girl, and I haven't heard a single person. Where is Barack saying something like, the day I'm in office, habeas corpus is back? Okay? Because without it, we are not America. The country is gone.
He's actually said that. He said he would restore the rule of law. He said it.
The rule
next.
Of law.
Next. He said he would restore habeas corpus. Next.
Okay, next. Why is he a member of the Council of Foreign Relations? Why does he
pay I don't buy it just because you say it, and I don't buy that they're this kind of conspiratorial, crazed organization that you paint it as. It calls itself a nonpartisan resource for information and analysis. You're the one who is saying that it is this plot to take over the world and make it one world government.
What's your evidence?
Ship me a credible argument by somebody.
What do you mean a credible argument?
Somebody who is not a left-wing wacko or a right-wing wacko. Send me a credible investigative article, and I'd be happy to read it.
Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. We're not getting an credible investigative article.
Because currently
has been bought out.
One minute here, my friend. They haven't sent me any money. I had to look them up to remind myself of who they were.
Who?
Here we go. Here we go. The Council on Foreign Relations. Here we go. Here's their latest article I picked by issue, by publication type. Here are some of the, here are some of their recent nefarious publications.
Okay.
This one's dated July 28th, 2008.
Right.
Peace, Justice, and Darfur. It's about a move to indict Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. This one, their other one from July, Carbon Pollution Reduction Scheme Green Paper, UK Climate Change Program Annual Report to Parliament. Wow, that sounds really scary to me.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Please do real research.
No, you do real research.
I'm
you're
the
one.
Reporter.
You're
I
the one. No, no. Excuse me. Excuse me. You are perpetrating lies and distortions without foundation in fact.
Oh, that you are so wrong to say that.
Come up,
I am the last
girly.
Person on the planet to
girly,
lie.
Girly, come up with the facts. So am I. Come up with the facts, woman.
Yeah,
go
I am
ahead.
Not the media.
No, you show up. You send me an article. You're the one who's basing your information on some sort of.
I'll send you more than one article. The bottom line is I'm working two jobs.
AaronHartShow.com. So am I.
To try to pay my bills.
Big
so why
deal.
Isn't the paid media giving me
big
the article?
Deal. Go
big
ahead
deal?
And get it. No, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean,
give me the research.
This is what it's come down to, Aaron. I'm a liberal, and you're going to argue that
give
I'm crazy
the
about
research.
The Council of Foreign Relations.
Give me the research, and I'm happy to invite Dennis Kucinich.
Wait.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I am happy to call Dennis Kucinich. As a matter of fact,
please.
Rick Ashton. Call Dennis Kucinich. Let's ask him about the Council on Foreign Relations.
Please, I would be
Let's
overjoyed
ask him if
you
they
talked
have
to Dennis Kucinich.
A huge plan to take over the world. Let's ask them
Aaron.
If they're going. If Barack Obama is the same as John McCain, and I'll bet you he'll say he's voting for John McCain. But for Barack Obama. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong that Dennis Kucinich is going to support Barack Obama. I could be incorrect. As a matter of fact, he's running for office, and I'll have to look up to see how much in jeopardy his seat is. But you know what? I'll bet you he wants Barack Obama to help him get elected. Because I bet you Dennis Kucinich wants to keep his job. But I am happy to look it up, Kathleen. You are welcome to send me an article about how evil the Council on Foreign Relations is. Here's why I don't like that. There are a lot of organizations that probably have some scary components to it. But I have never heard that you have to pay $50,000 to belong to it. I could be wrong. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I don't believe that you're absolutely evil, that you're scary, because you're associated with people from, say, the University of Texas at Austin, Stanford University, the School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton. You know, I just don't find those people frightening. Now, maybe I'm not conspiratorial enough, but that's who I am. 4:52, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Mario Solis Marit Show. This is Aaron Hart filling in. And again, you're welcome to write me and send me your research, aaron@aaronhartshow.com. But don't make unsubstantiated statements without being able to back them up. This is Aaron Hart filling in. Stand by for traffic with Scott Boylan on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart. Someone just sent me a URL. Before you did, I might add, and I probably shouldn't have called you girly, but I was trying to kind of dismantle it, actually, because we were getting mad at each other, Kathleen. But the thing is, I don't like people who just call up and make unsubstantiated, conspiracy-laden statements without backing it up, you know? And just to say, he's a member, he paid for $50,000, blah, blah, blah. You know, and yes, I've heard of the Council on Foreign Relations, but, you know, I like to remind myself before I go off on a tangent about how crazy they are. And by the way, somebody just sent me Illuminati Conspiracy Archive, where they have articles. And he says, Keefe says, these are the only types of article that support what that caller was saying. Now, I don't know whether that's true, but you know what? It's not my job to explore your paranoia, Kathleen. It really, really isn't. But on the other hand, I know many liberals are afraid of the Council on Foreign Relations, but you know what? I am not going to start dismantling our chances to take back the White House. I'm just not. I prefer Barack Obama vastly, completely, even if he is a little tainted. And let me tell you something. You don't get to a position of power where you can run for the President of the United States without stepping on some toes hard. As a matter of fact, you don't get where you're going anywhere in life without stepping on some toes hard. Do I wish it was different? Do I wish we were all better? Do I wish we didn't have a limbic part of our brains? Sure, I did. But the reality is we don't. We live in a competitive world, and that's just the fact, Jack. And you have to do some things that you may have to plug your nose a little to do it. But there is no evidence to show that Barack Obama is anything but the upstanding citizen that he pretty much I perceive him to be. So if you want to waste your vote, you go right ahead. But I don't understand it. Tim, in goodness gracious, I can't read my own handwriting. Broomfield, there we go. Tim, I have to watch writing fast. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Tim in Broomfield. I wrote so fast, I wrote blah.
Oh, okay.
And I went, oh, where is he from?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity. I pretty much decided the last couple of days that I'm not going to vote for Barack because he might be a fine, upstanding guy, and I mean, you said I'm sure he is, but when he starts pulling against what's good for my kids and I and my future, like, you know, not just waiting, hoping that some alternative energy shows up and all that stuff. We need to drill.
Have you been to his? Have you been to his website? Do you understand what his positions are on energy? Do you get it?
Well, I hear him on the news, and I've heard, and he's not for drilling. And I know he wants to raise taxes and all that stuff. And I'm just
Do you know how stupid drilling is? Do you know how stupid drilling is? Okay, let me just take 2 minutes to tell you how stupid drilling is.
We buy it from people to drill.
Hold on.
We buy it from people to drill. Okay.
Here you go. Here you go. Drilling is stupid. A, California will never, ever, repeat after me, not with a Republican governor, not with anyone else, let you do it. The southern states that will let you do it lie in the path of hurricanes. The reason offshore drilling is stupid is that even if you started day after tomorrow and started drilling, it would take 10 years to bring it into being. Then it would take, we don't have enough refineries and credible bipartisan evidence shows that it will only save you maybe 2 cents at the pump. So supporting offshore drilling is a waste of time, B, environmentally insane, C, does absolutely nothing to help your children's environment, nor my own nephews and nieces, D, is an insane waste of time and expense. So, Tim, I invite you, go to Barack Obama's website, smell the green awakening that's starting. Even T. Boone Pickens, who is a lifelong oil man, disagrees with you. It's 4:59. He does like offshore drilling, but I don't agree with him on that. Or you either. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Mario. We'll be back.